Would please turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And skipping down to verse 50, will you please follow along as I read out loud? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Many times at the death of a dignitary or some head of state, we see a great deal of pomp and circumstance. A great deal of effort is made to conceal the humiliation of the death of that person. There are processions, there are speeches, there is incredible attention given to every detail of the occasion. Other famous people, other dignitaries, other heads of state are invited to the gathering to add a degree of somberness and dignity and honor to the event, to the occasion of that person's passing. But in reality, the individual is dead. They have lost the war against their mortality, and they have come out on the humiliating end. They will go the way of all men. They will eventually, as all we too will one day be, planted in the ground, where they will become worm fodder and fertilizer. That is the end of every man. At the point of our death, what becomes of all of our accomplishments? What becomes of all our accumulations? They end at that point. No matter how our corpse is draped in finery, no matter how many bells toll to tell of our death, no matter how beautiful the music is that accompanies our passing, no matter if there are jets flying in formation overhead or guns firing at our side, nothing can alleviate the distress, the disgrace of our littleness, the futility of all of our efforts, that we could do nothing to preserve or extend our lives for 1 minute longer than God had ordained. Death comes to all men because all have sinned. Here then is the sting. The glory of man is as fleeting as the flowers of the field. It is as fleeting as the mists of the morning. In truth, each one of us came into this world with no glory. We will depart from it in the same way. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He took on our mortality, our humanity, thus enabling Himself to experience the disgrace and humiliation of the sting of death, it could not stick. It could not cling to Him, though it would try. Death was swallowed up in victory. The Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. He was with God before the world began and shared the glory of God. For our sakes and for our own well-being, He endured the cross. And herein is such incredible mercy, such incredible love, that we see His condescension on our behalf. That He left the glory He had and came to earth. You and I were born with no previously held dignity or glory. Jesus emptied Himself of it to be born. We think that being man is a grand, great, noble, honorable estate. For Jesus, this in and of itself was humiliation. That He left divinity and took on mortality for our sakes. He was rich and became poor. He was in the form of God, but did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, becoming a servant of all men and of no reputation. Jesus had previous glory and emptied Himself of it to be born as a man. But He even had glory that was attached to His sufferings. When Jesus hung on the cross from noon till 3 o'clock, the sun was darkened. As He yielded His spirit up unto death, the earth shook. Rocks were split, graves spilled open, and dead were raised. And what about the glory attached to His spiritual trophies, His spiritual triumphs? That Peter, whose heart was hardened just hours previously, denying that he even knew the Lord of glory, looked at Jesus and his heart was broken. The centurion who watched Jesus die as Jesus yielded up his spirit said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." All the people who stood and watched as after Jesus emptied his body of his spirit beat their breasts before they walked away. One of the thieves who was crucified at Jesus' side and had been joining his fellow thief and blaspheming Jesus and casting insult against him, at some point in time realized that this was the Son of God and repented of his sin and made a profession of faith. And Jesus, in tenderness and mercy, with the pity and compassion that he carried with him throughout his journey here on earth, turned to the thief and he said, "Surely this day, you'll be with me, you'll join me in paradise." glory was Jesus before He came to earth. Glory attended Him at His death. And we think of His moral glories, His readiness to suffer for another. Maybe for a good man someone would suffer, the Bible tells us. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What about His willingness to overlook the weakness of His slumbering disciples over and over again? When He was in such distress that He sweat great drops of blood. What temperance marked all of His ways? How absolutely emptied He was of the least bit of vengefulness. How He would not allow Himself to be provoked by the insensitivity of His closest friends. We see His moral glory in that when Peter took his sword out and struck off the ear of the high priest, he said, "Peter, sheath the sword." And he touched the ear of the servant and healed it. And showed such tenderness and compassion for His disciples that He insisted to His captors to let them go. Let these go. I'm the one you're after. And being brought before Pilate, testified to the truth. "It is as you say." Bearing tremendous insult with no resentment, the mockings, the spitting, the scourging, when with a word He could have destroyed them. And what would you have done? And what would I have done, dear ones, in a similar situation if we had that power at our disposal? What moral glory! His sympathy toward the daughters of Jerusalem when He saw them weeping as He was crucified. "Do not weep for me," He said. What a pitying eye He had toward His mother, turning to His other disciple, the one whom He loved, and said, "Behold your mother. Take care of her." Even as He was suffering and dying, such incredible agony on the cross, experiencing the infinite wrath of God for your sin and for my sin, yet still His concern was for the well-being of others. His prayer for His murderers, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." What moral glory! And where shall we end? We could go on and on, dear ones, recounting incident after incident of the glory that attended Him every step of the way through to His final moment. If it is the glory of a man to overlook a transgression, and the noblest triumph to overcome evil with good, then our Savior died gloriously beyond all example. Even that wicked French philosopher that has been the bane of the modern church, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, said, "If the death of Socrates was the death of a sage, then the death of Jesus was the death of a god." And after he ascended into glory, into heaven, his glory continued here on this earth, unabated. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled his apostles, giving these wicked, timid, weak men boldness, courage to testify. On that day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people converted after hearing one sermon. Not to mention all the miracles that we observe happening after Jesus' death and resurrection. The boy who was raised from the dead, having fallen out of the window at a prayer meeting late at night. You think we pray long? Being brought back to life. The lame man being made to walk by Peter and John. The establishment of the gospel, it spread like wildfire. Every soul called by grace, all of it is a part of the joy that was set before him and made the travail of his soul as he suffered, a thing that he despised. Because of that joy that he knew as he suffered, he was adding souls to his kingdom. And what glories will follow still? That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he is Lord of lords and King of kings. All of the nations will come and bow down before him. All those who are saved by faith in his shed blood will walk in the light of the Lamb, and they will marvel at the number of the elect in heaven, and they will fall down and worship him over and over without ever growing tired of it, because he will be everything that our eyes and our hearts and our minds desire. There will be nothing that can satisfy us like the presence of Jesus. Sting of death. What sting? O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Will you bow your heads with me? O Father, what you have accomplished for us, we have only briefly considered this evening. And even in this brief moment, we are stirred. We are amazed. What amazing love. What rapture, what transport will our souls know fully. Father, I pray that by your grace you would fix every heart and mind on these thoughts as we look forward to our Easter celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.